Disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Hey folks, welcome to the AnCast. Unfortunately, we had a little bit of a hiccup with the recording this time. Lost about 3 minutes off right off the top of the show. The only thing you missed was a brief discussion of the second episode of Sasamaki Koto, and long story short, Justin and I both felt the show took a quick detour into retard town and got kind of stupid. That's the long and short of that conversation, so now you know. Sorry for the abruptness, I'm just going to drop you right in where we left off. Again, you only missed about 3 minutes. Sorry about that. Enjoy the show. Okay, also, I watched the second episode of... I don't know why, but I watched the second episode of Fairy Tail.
You watched it because I did and I told you I watched it.
Oh, that's right. It was late at night last night.
Yes.
That's still garbage.
Yeah, I mean, this show is so... I reiterate what I said last week, that it's for little kids. I would reaffirm that and add dumb kids.
Yes.
I mean, I continue to be really shocked by this show because it's outright inept. I mean, the cartoon Looney Tunes style wild takes don't match up with the audio cues, and so it's kind of steps on its own slapstick. It's really outright incompetent.
Yeah, it's got to be one of the sloppiest professional productions I've seen in a long time, especially since the digital age. It's a good studio that's making it.
I know. They must just be really underfunded for this project.
Or they put, like, the junior varsity team on it
Right. The kids, you know, I popped into some of the other, you know, more kid-dominated forums, and they seem to be eating it up. One thing I'm really worried about, though, tell me this show isn't going to result in a lot of really, really horrifying cosplay this summer.
Oh, man. All those scrawny, pale kids.
Scrawny or doughy.
Wearing jorts.
Wearing jorts and nothing else.
And they have, like, a crappy, like, henna tattoo or something like that.
As if Kamina wasn't enough. As if Gurren Lagann didn't already destroy any joy I could get from looking at cosplayers.
Yeah, that's good. You know what? But the thing is, it doesn't really seem to be catching on with... Well, no, because that's a demographic, is kids show up to anime conventions.
Yep.
So it's going to be a lot of Fairy Tale. Oh, man. Wait, do you think that's going to get picked up?
If it is, well, it's not connected to Shogakukan or Shueisha, so that means Viz won't get pressured into taking it.
Right.
So that means that it's either going to end up with some, you know, third party like 4Kids, which, you know, seems to be breathing its last, or I don't see Funimation picking this up. No way.
I think it kind of depends on how Soul Eater does.
Right.
And this is all, you know, speculation.
But Soul Eater's actually like a decent show.
From what I heard, it's not. I mean, I have not seen it.
From
what I heard, it's like Fairy Tail is to Bleach as, or Fairy Tail is to One Piece as Soul Eater is to Bleach. It's kind of the direct-to-video version.
I saw one episode ages ago, and you remember the Shonen Mediocrity Scale from last week, where we put this at what, like a, or we put Fairy Tail at what, a 4 or 5?
I put it at a 2. You put it at like a 6.
I'll nudge that down there to a 4.
Okay.
Call it even. I would put, if Fairy Tail's at a 4, I would put Soul Eater at 5, 5.5. Okay. It's better than this, especially visually.
Yeah.
But it's still like a phoned-in shonen standard show.
I mean, I will definitely watch it when it comes out. We could talk about it when it comes out. But, we'll see. Mm.
So, also because we started streaming this on Anime News Network a couple days ago, we both watched the first episode of El Cazador de la Bruja, which...
I feel like every time you say that name, it should end with like a little Spanish, you know.
Well, I love this title because it's clearly Japanese overreaching into a language they don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the most generic sounding title if you speak Spanish. It just means witch hunters.
Oh, you know what pissed me off? There's like a muchacho and his kid sidle up to a bar and he's like, yes, we'll have 2 enchiladas. That is not how you order enchiladas. It's you and a kid, you each get an enchilada plate. So there's 2 enchiladas per person. I mean, this angers me. It's clearly these people don't know anything about Mexican food.
Well, they're Japanese. They probably barely eat anything.
Yeah. But that's what irritated me about that show. Honestly, it's B-Train, so you know what to expect. It's going to be two girls. There will be guns involved, intrigue, mystery, a shadow organization you do not give a shit about, and lots of slow pans over still backgrounds.
This reminds me of every bit of utterly forgettable Hollywood fare that comes out in the summer, usually starring, what was that one that came out this summer with Sigourney Weaver? Yeah, you don't remember. Kind of my point.
Was she the star?
She was one of them. It was one of those, like, you know, intrigue, oh my god, someone's going to kill the president type.
Oh, are you talking about Vantage Point?
Yeah, Vantage. Well, my point is...
Stop! Rewind that! That was the trailer, and it was in front of every movie I saw for like a year.
Right, it was annoying as hell. But, you know, as it's the kind of show that you would... It's the kind of movie that you would maybe watch on cable, just kind of have on the background. Nothing particularly offensive about it.
I'll tell you the one thing about that show that did offend me is the lead character's haircut. It is insane. She's got so much going on. It's like there's two pigtails that end in ringlets. There's a side braid, like Anakin Skywalker style side braid. She has a jewel thing that goes around the back of her head. Then she's got it sort of swept over the front of her face like an emo kid. And then there's a weird like puff coming out of the side of her head that's like out of place. It is the most like irresponsible bad design I've seen in a long time. It's like the designer was just like, eh, fuck it, whatever, you know, here you go. There's 10 different things going on. It must take her, like, she's a gunfighter. It must take her hours to get that ready in the morning.
Well, you know, in all fairness, it's far from the worst, most ridiculous anime hairstyle I've ever seen.
It's up there. It's up there.
Or you remember, what was that horrible show, Battle Skipper, back in the day? There was this one girl whose hair just went straight out. Almost horizontally.
Battle Athletes had characters like that, too.
Yeah, I mean, so compared to those, it's, you know, it's a bob.
No, it's ridiculous. You're downplaying it way too much. It's totally stupid-ass looking haircut. But anyway, the show does not... I was not excited by the show.
I kind of like it as kind of, you know, a forgettable little, like, time waster. You know what this is? It's one of those shows I really kind of want to see it dubbed because it feels like a waste seeing it subtitled. When I watch something subtitled, I have to commit my full attention to it because it's subtitled. If I look away, I miss too much. Mm-hmm. I don't really feel that this is an effective use of my time with this show. So this is something I would have on dubbed in the background while I work, and I'd probably enjoy it on that level.
Well, I always prefer when a show isn't set in Japan and isn't about Japanese people. I kind of prefer it dubbed.
Well, in this case, it'd have to be dubbed in Spanish.
Well, right, but even in English seems better to me. I don't know.
Right.
It just feels closer.
Well, so far, this could easily take place in Arizona. So speaking of things we kind of had middling opinions on, you also posted a review this week of Astro Boy.
I did post a review of Astro Boy. It was really hard to write because writing C plus reviews are really hard to write.
Oh, those are the worst. That's what burned me out.
Yeah, it's awful having to write one of those things.
Because you can't trash it. You can't really say you enjoyed it or sing its praises. It just kind of leaves you with nothing.
Well, not only that, but I hadn't finished my review before I interviewed the director, who's a really nice guy. Like, super pleasant British guy. Clearly very enthusiastic about his movie. And, you know, I didn't say what I thought of the film when I was talking to him. Obviously, that would be, unless he asked me, it would be rude. But I had just talked to him, super nice guy. I just didn't want to trash his movie. But and it's, you know, and it's not that sort of tempered my opinion. My opinion was always like, well, okay, whatever.
Right.
But it was.
I think we know you don't temper your opinions.
Yeah. It was just a C+. That's what I would give it. And if you have kids, I mean, okay, take them if they're bored, but it's not going to knock your socks off. But the thing that was interesting to me about it, and that one of the things I wanted to comment on, was the reaction to that review.
Yeah.
There were a few people that it got this sort of weird reaction where it was like, oh yeah, well I'm going to see it anyway. Screw you. Like it was my design to like convince them not to go. Like I give a shit whether or not they see the movie. It's just my opinion of the film. And this has actually happened before. And it only happens when I post reviews of stuff they can't see yet. They can't download it. They can't torrent it.
Right. It's always advanced reviews.
Yeah, it's always advanced reviews. And it's like they get mad that they can't have an opinion about your opinion yet because they haven't seen it yet.
Right. But they can't really cast out your opinion, so they have to kind of invent a different way to cast a spell. version about it.
You have to find a different way to try and discredit it.
Right. The same thing happened when I posted glowing reviews of Paprika, of Skycrawlers.
People took a lot of shit for that Skycrawlers review.
Oh, God. People need to get over themselves. It's really...
There's no depth to this. And they haven't seen it.
Right.
And it's like... And even after they saw it, it's like they don't want to admit that there's obvious themes in Skycrawlers. Obvious. It was in the press kit. You said it was in the press kit.
Yes, it's in the press kit. And, you know, they're like in utter denial that symbolism exists. Almost as if they're in a state of rebellion against their 11th grade teacher.
Yeah, right. You can't tell me this is an intellectual exercise. But it's fucking irritating. Look, right. If you haven't seen the film and you just don't like my opinion of it, fine. Go watch it, then come back and tell me I'm wrong. But don't try to preemptively tell me that this review sucks or it's irresponsible or my favorite unprofessional because you think you might like the film and I didn't.
I really like how unprofessional, and I don't know if it used to be like this because, you know, I wasn't really working back then, but in the age of the internet, unprofessional has just lost all of its meaning.
Right, it means I disagree with what you said.
Right.
That's all it means. I was actually having I was complaining about this on Twitter, like, God, some of the reactions to this review, you know, I don't care whether or not you go see the movie, I'm just trying to give you my opinion of it. And I think it was Erica Friedman who said, well, you know, as a journalist, it's your responsible to only say nice things about the things that they like. That's otherwise you are unprofessional and biased and you don't know what you're doing and you're a bad critic, yada, 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 yada.
Right.
And I guess it's just because people internalize this stuff way too much and take it too personally.
Well, I mean, video game fans do take this just as far, if not worse.
Oh, yeah, that's way worse. It's any
online nerddom,
yeah.
Basically. You're, by A, having an advantage over their ability to consume it, mm-hmm. and B, shitting on the product before they've had a chance to have their own opinion, you're basically just kind of rendering their opinion useless. And that just, there's no easier rage button to push, basically.
Right. The first guy that actually has firsthand experience with the product automatically becomes, let's bag on this guy because, you know, he's a
validator. How dare you? I'm no longer the king of my domain.
Yeah.
Three people read my blog. Three!
I'll have you know. My favorite response was, but some of us wanted to like this. Some of us wanted to walk in wanting to like this movie. Like, are you that much of a fuck up in the... Like, are you that fucked up in the head? Really? Like, the review affects you that much? Go see it. Enjoy it. I don't give a shit. Like, oh my God, it's a fucking review.
Well, it worked for Dragon Ball Evolution.
God, and that's the greatest thing. That is the best thing. Because the people who were like, screw you, I'm going to see it anyway. They did that. They tried to do that to me with Dragon Ball. And the people that did that, that basically they're saying, you know what? I'm going to spend $12.50 to prove to you I have shitty taste.
And I'll bet almost all of them were just like, oh, this was the dumbest $12 I ever spent.
There were people that came back, it wasn't that bad. Yes, it fucking was. Yes, it was. You have shitty taste. Sorry.
Right. Well... people love their opinions and love that. That's why people watch, you know, the cable news networks, either one, because, right. You know, it's basically parroting their own opinion back to them. Right. That's why they watch it.
Or
it's
telling not, them what, or in some cases, outright telling them what to think. But yeah.
It's, well, right. But it, my point is, it's their side talking back to them. It's their own little echo chamber. They like what they hear because it's what they already think.
Yeah. Well, it used to be that you never got any backlash on super positive reviews. It used to be like that. And it was easily identifiable. It's like, you're just disagreeing because, you know, you like the show and they didn't. It has nothing to do with anything else. That's what this boils down to. Right. You like it, they didn't. It's not that they're a bad writer or they're unprofessional or they're stupid. It's that you like it and they didn't. And that's where the disagreement comes in. Mm. Now I'm starting to see it wasn't that good, which is fine. You know, that's a reasonable argument to make. But they get right. just as vociferous and angry about it.
About positive warm fuzzies.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, somebody might see this and they don't know it's bad, but you're telling them it's good. It's like, man, just get over yourself. Like, and frankly, it's the internet. If you disagree that strongly with my opinion or your opinion or Carl's opinion, go start your own. There is nobody stopping you from going out and starting a blog.
But, Zach, there is something stopping them.
What, no audience?
Writing ability?
I think some of these angry guys, and we are talking about a minority here, it's a couple of angry guys.
It's three people that really have a unique ability to get under your skin.
Yeah.
I mean, they are truly gifted.
Yeah, they got to you, too.
I didn't mean you as in your, I mean you as in anybody's. It's like, you know, writing a review in the best of circumstances, can be a really kind of, and certainly this is true when I write Buried Treasure, it can be a real personal thing where, you know, you're exposing, you know, some sometimes intimate thoughts that occur to you when you're watching
a
movie.
Yeah, you get pretty deeply personal in Buried Treasure sometimes.
Right. And I think, you know, I wouldn't say I owe that to the reader, but it helps me make my point, and I don't mind sharing it if it helps someone relate to it.
Yeah.
In terms of a movie that's apparently like Astro Boy, where you're not really having that much of a big internal reaction to it, so it's just like, it almost like, writing it feels like taking a shit when you're constipated. You know, you just ate like a 8-pound hunk of cheese and you're just like trying so hard to pump out something.
Classy metaphors on this show.
It's what we do. And, you know, there's, even if it's a mediocre review at the end of the day, there's so much blood and sweat and tears that went into this.
Metaphor is just getting worse and worse.
That, you know, you do feel a little out in the open there when you put a review up. So, yeah, it's easy for... It's easy to make that, to, you know, pour a lie into that wound.
Yeah. I mean, and I should make it clear, I always want feedback on anything that any of my writers or I write, and I love a lot of the feedback you get. I'm talking about a pretty small chunk of it. So if you're out there and you're going, oh, but I responded to that review, yeah, I'm probably not talking about you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about the jackass that comes in and tells me I should be
We're not talking about people reacting to the reviews negatively. We're talking about people raging against us for having an opinion.
Yeah, that's where it gets annoying. So anyway, enough about that. You're yes. You are off to Singapore.
Not for a few weeks yet. There's a...
No, I mean literally right now. There's a plane outside.
Right.
Anyway,
I guess this means I'm being extradited. No, I'm going... I've actually never been to Singapore. I'm excited for this. It's Anime Festival Asia, which is happening the weekend before American Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't anything I saw coming. Apparently, they were media partners with them now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we get to cover their festival. And it sounds really interesting. I mean... Singapore is a really tiny country. Mm-hmm. It's half the size of New York City. And yet this con is bigger than AX.
Wow.
It's 45,000 people last year.
Wow.
And, you know, they have a lot of guests. Unfortunately, all the ones they've announced so far are musical guests, and those don't really translate to a very good editorial. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the nice thing about Singapore is that it's a tropical Asian country that you don't need to know any foreign language at all to get around. Everyone speaks perfect English.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. I know absolutely jack shit about Singapore, as I'm sure actually probably most people...
Hey, almost everything I know came from that Tony Bourdain episode.
Right, right.
Needless to say, I'm really looking forward to the food.
Yeah, yeah, you're a big food guy, so that must be a certainly an exciting component.
I will buy pounds and pounds of chicken and rice and roll in it.
How long are you going to be there?
Well, originally it was just for that weekend, but it's a 17.5-hour flight. I am not going. I'm not going in the air for over 30 hours. To spend a weekend. I'm just not doing that.
Yeah, that's a waste of time.
Yeah, so I decided to extend my stay a couple days early. Apparently with a city that small, I can just walk around and, you know, I probably cover the whole thing on foot by the time I have to actually do anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to blog the whole thing.
Great.
So we'll get that up on the site. I'm even going to attempt to do some video blogging, although who knows how that will turn out. I'll admit I'm a little nervous just because it's monsoon season there.
Did you get shots before you go? I don't know if it's one of those countries.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's South Asian tropical. It's clean, and, you know, they've actually banned chewing gum there.
Yeah.
They were hit by SARS. They were hit by avian flu. So, yeah, I'll probably do my best to get a swine flu shot before I go out there.
Probably a good idea. Okay, well, that's about that. You want to go ahead and bring the guest in?
Sure.
Swing your arms from side to side. Come on, it's time to go. Do the Mario. Take one step. And then again, let's do the Mario all together now. Come on now, just like that.
And we're back. Our guest this week is none other than editor-in-chief of AnimeVice.com, Gia Mannery. Gia, thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely, anytime.
Cool. Okay, so tell us a little bit about how AnimeVice got started. I mean, you're part of a bigger network. It's owned by Whiskey Media, right?
That's right. The company Whiskey Media actually originally started with a website called Comic Vine that focuses on comic books, and is very heavy on its database, and a lot of the users are big on the forums with role-playing and things like that. And in the last 6 months or so, they've moved a lot more into news and video and things as well. Mm-hmm. A little bit before that, they also launched Giant Bomb, which is a video game site, and it's sort of starring Jeff Gerstmann, who, I don't know, a bunch of us bloggers know him as that guy who got fired from GameSpot for giving a negative review to a sponsor's game.
Yep. I remember that
guy.
Kane and Lynch.
Yep. And then they launched Vice.
So how's it going? How's it going at Anime Vice?
Very well. I actually just moved to California so I can actually go into the offices so that, you know, like, my bosses won't keep forgetting about me and I won't keep forgetting about them, but also so that I'll have access to our video studio. Mm-hmm. We're expanding the offices, hopefully getting some more help on the side. So we're growing a lot right now, actually.
Cool. So I got to ask, there's a lot of video on your site, but it's not like licensed video. You're not running anime or anything like that. It's sort of a YouTube-style video blog. And I'm curious, what was the decision to start with that stuff? Is it working out for you? Is it getting the amount of feedback that you want for it?
The videos usually do pretty well. I have, as a general rule, kept them very short. Like, I use them a lot in my reviews these days, but what I'll specifically do is I'll try and cram the plot of a show into 60 seconds, ideally in a way that's kind of amusing. So the video stays short, and then I've got the full review as text. But then we also do just kind of whatever silly stuff comes to mind. I did a video recently where I was talking about how easy, I think, relatively speaking, the dub for Funimation's anime Big Windup was. John, one of my coworkers, and I did a video where we did a live-action version of the video game Fat Princess, which was kind of silly and fun. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to do a lot more stuff with video now that I'm here and I have access to our studio and our professional videographers. So we're still kind of experimenting. Giant Bomb has done very well with video, but they can do a lot of things that we can't. Like, for example, one of the most popular features they had was when they basically just shot the screen and their own audio of them talking through the game. I think it was Persona 3. Mm-hmm. And they literally filmed like just hours and hours and every single one of these videos was like an hour long at least, and there's like 150 of them, and I mean their readers loved that. But you know, we can't do that with anime. We can't show the episode of anime with us talking about it, so we're trying to find some ways to get kind of that feel without actually, you know, completely violating anything remotely related to copyright law. Although we have gotten permission, we're working out with Crunchyroll to post some shows here and there. I post an episode of Chi every week as sort of the Sunday night relaxant, and I've been posting episodes of Saki kind of in the wake of the show doing so well at the Saimoi tournament. So we're kind of working it into our content in addition to kind of working it into our reviews and everywhere else. And it does fairly well, actually. I'm always kind of surprised when some videos do really well and some of them get, like, no comments at all. Right. Comic Vine actually did an interview with Stan Lee at Long Beach Comic Con, and it got way, way, way fewer comments than a lot of other videos, which is amazing because you're like, oh my god, that's Stan Lee.
Yeah, but Stan Lee is kind of, he puts himself out everywhere. He's at every Comic Con, you know, he's not a hard guy to chat with.
No, that's absolutely true. But he's also really, I love listening to him because he's got that total New Yorker voice going on. I get a kick out of him every time I see him. So I thought it was a really cool video. But, you know, you never know what's going to hit just the right spot, the right time, kind of a thing, and you just do your best to match that.
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that because we've flirted in the past with doing sort of riff track style audio tracks for anime with proper permission and everything. Like, it's basically impossible to let them them to let you do it.
We basically you try to explain it to them in the least offensive way possible. Not where you have a really shit show and we're going to goof on it.
I think we can say which one we were going to try to do. It was Virus Buster Surge.
Oh, right.
We were gonna try to get that and talk over it. It's basically impossible to write. But what you said, you mentioned that Giant Bomb had videos of them basically doing that to Persona, which is an mm-hmm. easy, it's a very easy target to sort of make fun of the whole way through. And it doesn't shock me
and
at all that that's...
I think they had kind of unofficial permission to do it, you know. I mean, technically, there's definitely some legal gray area there, but they're really tight with that company in the U.S., and so they were kind of able to get away with that in ways that we never...
It doesn't surprise me that that was more popular than a video interview with Stan Lee, because in our experience, video interviews...
They fall on their face.
Yeah, people on the internet want to read the interview, because most people are looking at this stuff at work. At least that's my experience. I don't know, have you guys done a lot of video interviews on the site? On Vice, at least?
We haven't done a lot of video interviews. When I do them, most of the video interviews have been just sort of short, goofy, you know, like I'm talking to Bob Napton from Bandai on the show, or Ollie Copeman from Del Rey, people who are very kind of character-y and, you know, just short little clips, and our readers definitely really like that. I have noticed that with video reviews, they can be more miss than hit, depending on who you're, you know, like, especially with Japanese guests, because they don't tend to be really super over-the-top in their personas in the way that we would expect, for example, Stan Lee to be. So, you know, it can really, your mileage will vary, definitely.
One of the...
And I like text interviews. But yeah. I like to read. And
one of the interviews that just we tried and it just utterly fell on its face at hand and was interviewing voice actresses and pop stars. They not only do they have nothing interesting to say, but they are, you know, they're almost interchangeable. I mean, you can almost predict with word-perfect precision what they're going to say. Well, I'm really grateful to my fans and it was a really good experience.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know,
I totally noticed that. We tried to interview, you know, they had several different groups going in to interview members of AKB48 at the New York Anime Fest, and I was in with Brad from Japanator and Amanda from Comcast and the Funimation channel, and it's like, I think a third of all of our questions, and half of mine specifically, the manager would not even let the girls answer the question. He would just step in and answer it. Brad asked one that I kind of, you know, the kind of question that would have been really great if it had been directed at somebody who could really answer it, which was, you know, Japan's politics have been changing so much and there's kind of this mood of change in Japan. Do you think you guys are doing anything to change the world? And the girls were just like, huh? Kind of sad, funny, but they were, you know, really cute and really sweet, but that's just not... You know, that's not what Japan expects from its artists the way that America kind of expects. You know, if you go up and you talk to Brad Pitt or somebody like that about changing the world, they'll say something. But, you know, particularly with idols, you know, the machine that turns them out is so controlling that going and riffing on something like that is pretty much, I think, impossible.
Yeah, and on the other hand, we, you know, the other expectations that we have of pop stars doesn't happen over there. They don't do, you know, they don't have, you know, week-long coke benders and you know.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah, no, it's like a huge deal out there when they're like dating somebody. Like, oh my god, did you see that pop idol was totally holding hands with that actor?
Well, they can get axed by their label for that. It's bad. I mean, it seems like a horrible life.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a rock star drummer and you get arrested for having pot, what? That's not cool.
And, you know, it's not like they're rich over there. They don't make that much money.
Yeah, it seems like kind of a crappy... And they're managed within an inch of their life. I mean, I interviewed Larkin Seal when they came for Otakon.
Yeah, and they're Larkin Seal. They've been doing it for 15 years.
Yeah, and they walked into the room, they sat down at the table, and I had a very brief, pleasant conversation with their manager for, you know, 15 minutes. And to be totally frank, and maybe this is just because I'm a shitty reporter, a shitty interviewer, I don't have anything to really say to these guys in the first place.
No.
I mean, Gia, you've interviewed musicians. What's the tack that you take there with Japanese,
you know,
musicians?
It depends on who it is. I try really hard to do as much research as I can on sort of what this artist is about, what they do, and then I kind of think about it in the context of where they are. And, you know, so much of the time I go back to these kind of standby questions of, you know, oh, is this your first time to America? Are you liking it? What are you doing for tourist stuff? You know, just kind of silly questions. And I find, you know, the readers are actually pretty interested in that stuff, even though, I mean, like, as a reporter, you kind of go, oh, my God, that's so lame. Like, everybody's going to ask that same stuff. But, you know, at the same time, if the readers like it, that's, you know, kind of what the job is to deliver. So,
well, yeah, you know, I understand, I've never seen a piece of music coverage that I could quantify as the fans really liked this, because there was no response. Like, two people are like, thanks for the interview.
I really like this artist.
Yeah, it's not... I mean, you're maybe just better at it or luckier than we are, but, I mean, I've never been able to make music content work to the point where it felt like it was a good use of our resources and experience, you know?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, on our side, it's kind of funny because as much as we, the writers and engineers, are experimenting with stuff still this early on, so are the readers and the commenters. Mm-hmm. You know, like every once in a while you get somebody who just came on the site who decides to be all like, first! And you're like, oh, come on.
We delete those people.
Yeah.
those people tend to have very short lives on our forums.
So speaking of forums, you guys have a pretty extensive forum on your site. Do you moderate that, or do you have other people doing that?
We have other people moderate it, and I'm actually just now really getting into kind of keeping tabs on it, as I have a couple more writers, John and Chris, helping me out on the content side. And they can be really fun, and of course they can be incredibly awful. There's a thread on the site that is, what anime character would you have sex with, except that, you know, the guy put an at sign instead of an E, so it's like, what anime character would you have sex with? And it's actually, you know, it's not like 400 replies, and you just kind of go, oh man.
We don't, you know, and we sort of have a reputation for a draconian fist of pure iron rule on our forums, and it turns out people like that. They really like that. I don't know how heavily would you say your forums are moderated?
Ours?
Yeah.
Sometimes they're moderated more heavily. More heavily than I would, and sometimes a lot less. You know, like there are certain things, and you know, a lot of our moderators originally came from Comic Vine, which is really funny because Comic Vine, for example, doesn't allow any swearing on their boards. And one time I posted a link to one of my articles, which was the How Not to Be an Asshole at Conventions feature, and one of the Comic Vine moderators was like, sorry, I had to edit your post on the board. And I was like, oh man, I had no idea. And I could kind of go into some theories on why exactly that works at Comic Vine, but it would never really work on Vice. And that's not to say that we're like totally gung-ho swearing like sailors all over the place either.
We
do have some young users, but
if we banned swearing, we'd have gotten tossed off our own forums years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I try to keep it under control. We actually have an annoying language filter that I've been railing against for years.
Oh yeah, how it turns asshole into not nice person or whatever.
Yeah, and it turns fuck into fudge. It's just
like, yeah,
it's just, God, that's so infantile.
Yeah. But so I mean, so what's your how would you characterize your community? Because you serve a very pretty much different audience from the people that we are serving, I would say, as a general rule. How would you characterize the audience for Anime Vice?
Well, you know, like I said, we're really still settling in a lot of ways. And when the site first launched, the majority of our readers either came from geopet.net, my blog, which means they were pretty hardcore readers and watchers of anime. And then there were a bunch of people who came over from Comic Vine and from Giant Bomb who, you know, had kind of dipped their toes into anime and were interested in the new site. You know, a lot of people get into it just because they want to be among the first people on the site, especially if the site winds up doing really well. So we got a lot of people like that, and some of them are still our best contributors and really got into it, and some of them, you know, totally fell off the wagon after a while. And, you know, now we're really starting to build up our own audience from people that we're getting just kind of all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, you know, it's not like I can really find a single word to describe it because it's such a mix right now.
Would you say they're younger, younger than average?
I think our average is mostly in the 15 to 25 male range. Mm-hmm. My content always skews male.
Shock.
Probably because I'm such a dirty pervert. But it's really tough to, you know, like just today I was responding to a thread where somebody was like, okay, don't kill me, but I actually do not know what the difference between anime and manga is. And nobody was particularly mean to him or her. I'm actually not sure. But it's sort of like, I doubt you guys get much of that on your forums anymore.
Well, we do. It just doesn't stay around for very long because we have very gung-ho mods, very gung-ho moderators, and they don't really tolerate that kind of a thing. We try not to be openly hostile to newbies, and I think for the most part, actually, I don't read our anime forum, which is probably bad.
Yeah, that's the newbie land, and you know that's the pasture they get led to.
Yeah, and they all seem to be having a great time. So I mean, hey, more power to them. And we have gung-ho moderators that go in there, and well, they can deal with that. You know, it's the beauty of being executive editor, I guess, is I don't have to go into the anime forums. But I wanted to ask. So the style of Anime Vice is really different. It's super blog-esque. Now, when it started, it wasn't quite this bloggy, and I'm wondering if you would agree with that, and B, why go in that direction where it's very personality-driven? It is very much sort of about you and your coworkers and your take on things. There's a lot of jokes and stuff like that. I mean, why go that way?
Well, I definitely agree that I probably started out, you know, because I was coming off of Anime Online and then Geopet.net, which were both a lot more news-focused. But my job at Anime Vice isn't just to be editor-in-chief in terms of putting together the editorial content. It is to kind of provide the tone, the personality of the site. Mm-hmm. You know, I try really hard to make sure that I'm not, like, trying to pretend to be some kind of superstar. I'm really, you know, not at all interested in any of that. On some level, there, you know, there are so many sites that are covering this content. You know, you try and find a way to do it that speaks to you and hope that that speaks to others and is different from what everybody else is doing, which is not to say, you know, obviously the mildly snarky blog tone is not exactly new by any stretch, but you know, we also don't so much aim for that specific tone. Like, I don't sit there and try and plan out the best way to make fun of this show or this thing or whatever. I just kind of put it out the way I kind of would want to read it myself. Mm-hmm. You know, the way I think it sounds fun. And plenty of our readers seem to think it's fun, too. So that's kind of the direction that we aim. And there's always kind of the balance between, well, here's the stuff that I know, you know, will probably drag in a lot of hits because it involves, you know, a scantily clad girl in a figure versus here's this very, very hard news that I know a lot of our readers wouldn't read, but it's pretty important. How do I balance that out? And some days I'll pick one and some days I'll pick the other, just kind of depending on what we've been doing. And it's hard because, you know, once you add, I used to be able to churn out so many more posts in a day than I can now. I think my record for news posts was at Anime Online. I think I did 21 in a day, something mm-hmm. like that.
Well, so that, I gotta ask about this then, because I did notice there was a post that I think is still like among the most popular things, where one of your writers, I think it was Godlin, is that his name, used the new spoiler tag to just post like two giant pages of just hardcore porn. And I was wondering, how did you feel about that? And did your bosses, I mean, because I saw it and I was like, Gia, what the fuck? Like, I was totally flabbergasted by it. Like, so what happened there? Was that, I mean, I know that guy has a very, he's got an outsized personality. I know that. But I'm just sort of curious, like, what happened there?
Well, actually, I talked to him about it, and, you know, if he had asked me in advance whether it was okay to do that, I probably would have just said run with it because, you know, I found it funny. That's honestly the reason why he wanted to do it was kind of to make fun of the classic Sankaku complex. Like, here's a bunch of pictures of anime titties. Go!
Right.
Yeah. Kind of post. But he didn't really frame it very well as a satire, so a lot of people didn't really pick up on that, unfortunately. And, you know, we kind of addressed that and then just, you know, let it slide. And, you know, we made it pretty clear that that was not the direction we were going by. Not doing posts like that. It was never in our plan to start doing sort of the weekly boo posts, and we kind of have our own system. Basically, we try not to show any penetration, even under the not safe for work tags, and pretty much show the not safe for work stuff only as it actually applies to an article.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, that is a side of the anime world, and it's something a lot of readers are interested in, so we don't want to just completely be like, totally G-rated, go!
Yeah, that's a good... That's
worked very well either.
That's a good point. We actually don't cover hentai, and my editorial stance on it is there's no point in reviewing hentai because it's porn. So what are you going to tell them? Well, I sure did jerk off to this, or no, I didn't jerk off to this. Those are the two options that you have in a hentai review. So I found it pointless. I mean, do you ever see the site going there, like cover? Because you initially, when you guys started out, you didn't do reviews at all. Now you're doing video mm-hmm. reviews. Would you ever move into that space? Is that something you think is a valid, explorable part of the community?
I don't know about doing hentai reviews per se. I think you're right that it's pretty hard to find a good way to review it. Although we've talked about it, and my favorite idea was to do John in a wig doing "Your Jewish Grandmother Reviews Porn." And we thought that was going to be really funny, but we never quite worked out how exactly that would happen. So, you know, we cover, obviously, news-related things when it makes sense to do so for whatever reason. I don't think we're going to lean into doing reviews, but we may find other ways to cover adult materials and try, you know, as long as we can. What I would really like, and what we talked about, the engineers and I at one point, was creating a flag system that actually detected, you know, whether your account said you were 18 plus and wanted to see adult content. So that it literally just would not appear on the site. That's something that probably would not be feasible to do for a while yet. I mean, that's a pretty hefty engineering thing to get done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we did that, then what adult content I would do would probably change. But at this point, you know, we'll just kind of throw it in when we can make sense of it. and set it aside when we can't.
Do you ever feel compelled to, because a lot of the entries, I was looking through the site today, and it does have a very sort of snarky tone to it. Are you ever compelled to just do it, just straight news? Is there ever like a story that you're like, okay, I'm not going to fuck around on this one?
I'm trying to think if there are any specific, like, I definitely can say that I have, and occasionally I will just do like the look, I'm not going to bullshit you, here's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And usually that stuff when I get serious tends to be more like when things pop out that like piracy related things and stuff that, you know, is more serious. Mm-hmm. And I have done some of that kind of when I think the situation calls for it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I definitely feel that instinct on occasion and use it when it kind of seems like the right choice, the right tack. You know, a lot of times I'll go into, like, I will sit there and I will argue out, well, because, you know, a lot of our posts are very editorial, and I will state my opinion and I will make sure that I'm stating this is my opinion, this is my speculation, you know, take it with a grain of salt, agree, disagree, whatever. But I will sit there and I will argue out kind of both sides in my head, so I'm doing my best to kind of represent all potential arguments, you know, kind of the standard journalistic take on things. So I do my best with that when I can.
Yeah, I've noticed that you tend to be very neutral on most things. Our news editor basically exists in a bubble. Nobody bothers him. We just say, Egan, go, and he does a great job.
Oh God, yes, he's a machine.
So we're very blessed to have Egan, but I'm glad he's around because I'm certainly not the person to be doing objective, super objective news reporting.
Well, Zach, I don't know. Yeah, I can never tell what your opinion is.
Well, you know, one of the reasons why I often wind up sounding like I'm sitting on the fence is because I'm so determined to represent both sides. And sometimes it makes me a weaker reporter, I think, because I feel obligated to point out this inconsistency or, you know, try and speak for this group, even though this group might actually be a lot smaller. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to make sure that I'm giving them kind of the correct representative weight and everything. You know, we all do the best we can on that kind of thing, I think. And honestly, you know, I can almost always, I'm overly empathetic. It's like the worst thing ever, believe me. But because I'm overly empathetic, it means I see both sides so clearly that a lot of the time it's really hard for me to just sit here and say, okay, that's complete bullshit and that guy's being a douchebag.
Is there something that you wish that you could have just completely condemned and that prevented you from doing so?
You know, I'm sure there is, but nothing comes to mind right now. I have such a terrible, like, short-term memory, and I just got back from the office, so I'm kind of like,
burned out for the day.
Like, I could probably think of something today that I was thinking about that on. I don't know, what was the website that just recently, the Anime Freeze thing, where they were like, oh my god, Funimation is totally, like, they got it in for us, and they're being mean to us because we're posting links to their videos of their dubbed stuff online.
Yeah, they were just illegally streaming a whole bunch of Funimation dubs, right?
Yeah, right.
And then they tried to play victim.
Technically, they were like, we're not hosting the videos, we're just embedding them. But then on another part of their site, they're actually calling out for people to upload videos for them so they don't have to depend on other people for it. God. So,
gee, I wonder why Funimation has an out for them.
Which I haven't. But if I'd written up on that, I would have been pretty inclined to be like, look, that's bad.
Yeah. Okay, well, on that note, we got actually a bunch of Twitter questions, so let's go ahead and get into those. First up from DJ Tyrant, how do you decide what to put up as news? How many stories go by the wayside a day because of time or other issues? I'll just say, to my knowledge, it's a niche thing, it's entertainment media, there aren't a lot of stories that don't wind up getting reported just because the thirst for having content is there. And Egan, I'm sure, pours over this stuff and posts whatever he feels is newsworthy. It's not like a huge rush of news every day, you know?
Right. Egan, well, actually, Egan gets a lot of people trying to get him to post news stories about things that aren't anime related at all.
Yeah, it's self-promotional stuff.
Yeah, it's like, someone will try to pimp a video game or even like a music video for a rap artist or something that they'll say is anime inspired, and you look at it and like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
This looks about as much like anime as your average Tyler Perry movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that he has to filter out a lot of that stuff. And a lot of just like people trying to, you know, little mom and pop shop owners that try to pass off their weekly specials as news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically, Egan has a pretty good bullshit filter. So the news you're not getting is not news.
Right.
At least in my experience. What about you, Gio?
Yeah, that's, I mean, obviously since our, you know, I don't have just me doing full-time news and then other people handling the editorial or vice versa. You know, there's definitely some trade-off where there's, you know, smaller pieces of news like this website updated, or, you know, I can't post every single trailer that comes out, much as I would love to, things like that, just because I don't have the time or energy. And, you know, our guys who work on a per post basis, you know, I'd rather they didn't kind of waste their per post on just posting a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. Although sometimes they do, and it's not a waste because they found a video that's actually really cool. You know, it depends on the day. Some days are slow news days, and I will post like everything that comes onto my desk that is remotely of interest to me, and I always feel really great at the end of those days. And then some days there's just not enough time in the world, and I'll save a whole bunch of stuff to potentially do the next day, but then the next day a whole bunch of much more important stuff comes up. And so yeah, things definitely slide by the wayside on Vice. I'm hoping that, you know, once we get some more workers on the site, there will be less of that. And sometimes, actually, our readers are really good at picking up some of those side stories. So our user blogs, some of them are actually a really great read cool. for people who are, you know, obsessively looking for news stuff.
All right. From Steve Brandon OTT, he's got two questions here, one of which will be very quick. Actually, both of them. What's so great about Nindoroids? $40 US seems a bit steep for a little dolly with three interchangeable super deformed heads. Yeah, $40 is too much of those things. They feel cheap. Like, you've held one of those before, right? The little Nendoroid yeah. guys with the big heads. And yeah. they look good. I think the paint's really nice on them, but they feel super cheap. Like, I wouldn't pay more than $15 for one of those things.
I recuse myself. Yeah. I don't care about figures at all.
I don't buy a lot of figures, but I do know that Nendoroids are, depressingly enough, like amongst the cheaper figures you can get out there. Mm-hmm. And usually a little while after one's come out, you can get a Nendoroid for like $30. I've only done it once. I picked up the L Nendoroid from Death Note. And he's pretty cute, but like the first thing that happened was one of the little pieces that, you know, connects the head to the body snapped. So I kind of decided not to buy any more Nendoroids, although I do find them really cute. Although a friend of mine gifted me then the light Death Note figure so I could handcuff them together or whatever. It was kind of cute.
Yeah. Okay, also from Steve Brandon, do you or Justin, and for UG as well, read Scott Pilgrim? I like it. What's your opinion? Everybody has told me to read this book. I pick it up off the shelf. It's like $13. Doesn't look like I would really like it that much. Have you ever read this Scott Pilgrim, Gia?
No, I've never gotten around to it. I'm cramming so much anime and manga into my day that I manage... to find some time for the occasional novel or nonfiction book, but when I have free time, most of the time I am not running straight for comics.
Yeah, okay. Justin, I assume you have heard of this, but don't give a shit at all.
I'm actually completely illiterate.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
That explains so much.
That would explain all these children's books on the ground.
Yes.
Okay.
Those are manga, Zach.
Sorry. Okay. From Vicious Smith. Question for Gia. Do you think more girls and women in the U.S. have become interested in or neglected anime?
Well, you know, like, I've talked about this to other female fans, and it always seemed to me that compared to, like, video games or comics, which have always been more male-dominated as fandoms go, anime and manga have pretty much always had a relatively close, you know, 50-50 matchup for men and women, in my experience.
Oh, Gia, you're so young.
It wasn't like that in the 90s.
No.
Well, you gotta remember, I came in at the Sailor Moon generation, so I came in with a whole slew of females.
That was kind of the first generation then.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, a lot of the circles I traveled in, for a while, I was following a lot of fan fiction stuff. And it's been my experience that these days most of the fan fiction authors are female. So, like, I've definitely known girls who are really big on the, oh my god, I'm a girl in fandom and that sucks because we're always a minority.
I hate that shit.
I never especially felt that. But I'm a very focused geek. Like, I kind of dabble in a lot of these other things, in video games and in board games and all sorts of different stuff. But I've almost always been more into the anime stuff. So I've never felt like a minority, like I'm one of very few women in the anime fandom. Does that kind of answer the question?
Yeah, because you're not. I hate that shit. I hate that. I'm a girl gamer. Yeah, that's right. A girl. Yeah, there's fucking millions of you. Like, you are not special anymore. You might have been special in, like, 1994, but now there's a billion girls going, yeah, look at me, I'm a girl and I like comics. Fuck, who? Nobody fucking cares. Like,
well,
get over yourself.
The funny thing is, I do notice that the female demographics tend towards areas that aren't really, they really dominate certain categories and are completely missing in others. For example, Gia mentioned fan fiction. That's far and away a female thing these days. There used to be quite a lot of male written fan fiction back in the 90s. Now it's almost 80-90% female, from what I can tell.
I would say.
Yeah, I remember I hang out in an IRC chat room with a bunch of guys who all met together online because they were hanging out in like a Rama 1/2 fan fiction room. And I said something about, you know, females being the majority of fanfic authors these days. And one of the guys was like, "What are you talking about?" Because they're still stuck in this in the Rama 1/2 fanfiction world, if you can even believe that it still exists. And they had no idea that women wrote fanfiction.
I guess everything still exists. One shock to me, though, is every year I help out New York Anime Fest with the AMV contest. I was really, really shocked by how many female editors there are.
Yeah.
I think that must be a relatively recent thing, because, they all seem to be really young, too, and using Windows Movie Maker to edit homosexual innuendo out of their favorite shows and just
so kind of the same thing as fan fiction, right?
Yeah, it's exactly. That's why I get almost no comedy videos anymore, and they're all like really drippy romance ones.
Okay, from Zeruda, this is a simple one. I just want to know what Justin thought about Where the Wild Things Are.
Okay,
weird question. Okay, what did you think about that
movie?
Did
you go buy your parent afterward? I heard that there was kind of an epidemic, or at least one of these kids going out and buying their parents.
What?
Or something.
Really?
What?
You didn't hear about this? Apparently, there's like a scene in the movie where like the kid bites somebody or something.
He bites his mother.
And then
yeah.
Some real life kid went out and bit somebody. And the parents were like, "Oh my god, it's the movie's fault."
Yeah. Didn't see that, but
no.
Okay.
honestly, I didn't get it.
Right.
At
I
all.
Liked it. I liked it a lot more than you did.
I felt like I could tell it was well made, and I could tell it had a lot of heart, and I admired what it was trying to do. I felt like a Vulcan being told a joke. I mean, it didn't click. I think part of it is I was just so not that kind of kid. I was almost Max's opposite, so.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, I loved it. I thought it was a masterpiece, probably one of the best films I've seen this year, and definitely worthy of Spike Jonze's filmography. It's in there. I just loved it, but I related to it. So, it sounds like you haven't seen it.
No, if you can believe it, the last movie I saw actually was the remake of Fame.
Wow, I'm not judging you at all for that.
Which is about what you would expect that to be.
Okay.
American Idol, the movie.
All right. From ByReal, why is it the shine of a new show always seems to stand out to licensors? Once a show is 10 years old or 10 years or older, should you just give up hope of it ever being licensed?
Yes.
I guess the answer is yes.
Pretty much.
Does he mean licensors or licensees?
Licensors.
Licensors, well...
He might not know the difference.
Yeah, okay, licensors are, you know, the Japanese rights holders that sell to the Americans. Licensees would be, like, Funimation.
Yeah, he means licensees.
Okay. Honestly, the old stuff, if most of it was already evaluated 10 years ago when it came out, and people already got the good stuff that came out 10 years ago. And if they didn't, there's usually a reason, either political or some sort of behind-the-scenes reason, or they just didn't think it would sell. And frankly, stuff sells a lot less now than it did in 99. Mm. So, yeah, if they passed on it and it's 10 years old, there's usually a reason.
Yeah, I mean, entertainment is a game of novelty. It's about, I mean, with some exceptions, you know, the mainstream audiences want what's new. What's new, what's new, what's new.
All right, from Hamsworth. Ever had a problem with the opposite sex because of the stigma attached to being an anime fan or working in anime journalism? I'll say I have generally only ever dated nerdy girls, so nope, never been a problem.
I try not to date anime fans because...
Oh, I don't date anime fans, but they're cool with it.
Right, you know? Exactly. Like, I tend towards girls who are open-minded, and they... Open-minded girls tend to be nerdy.
Right. Gia, any answer?
As the nerdy female, it, you know, hasn't been a problem.
Right. I'm sure it has not been an issue for you.
Okay. People are generally kind of respectful of it.
Well,
it's my job.
Well, not only that, you know, we're not, if we're working for an anime website, this is our livelihood, we're not going to be dating, like, the cheerleader bimbo who's like, "Oh my god, you like that?" It's just not who we like.
From Bradley C. Meek, how will the newest generation of anime fans affect the fandom once they come of age, specifically their large numbers and attitude?
Well, if we knew that, we could start an anime company and
yep.
make money off of it.
That's true. I hope that they don't pass down the let's scream internet memes in the middle of a convention hallway thing. I hope that that eventually fades out.
Oh, come on. What 25-year-old does that?
No, but I'm hoping that as they come of age, that the generation coming in behind them doesn't say, well, we should do that too. I'm
right.
hoping that goes away.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
You know, that happened when the demographic moved young.
Yeah.
I think that's just part of being young is being, you know, complete obnoxious twat.
Yeah.
And loud. Complete obnoxious loud.
Briefly, Gia, what is the most... you go to a lot of conventions like we do. Briefly, what is the thing that annoys you the most at conventions?
Oh, man. Well, I did a whole bunch of feature articles on it. As a journalist, the thing that pisses me off the most is when you've got a panel, like a Q&A session, you know, with a Japanese guest, and all you have the line out the door, people asking questions, and somebody goes up and asks, is somebody going to license the product that you're here to talk about? And you're just like, oh, my God.
I know you said you can't comment on it, but are you going to license Naruto? Yeah, that kind of thing.
My favorite is when, like, some creator comes and the fan at a panel starts airing their grievances with their work.
Excuse me, sir.
I didn't like the ending. You think you can make a sequel?
Little dickheads.
Oh, no. Best feeling is when somebody goes up thinking that the creator is somebody else or thinking that the creator created something that they didn't.
Yeah.
And actually, even for the longest time, you know, people would go up to the Bandai Entertainment panels and ask questions about Bandai Visual prior to Entertainment absorbing Visual.
Right.
Or when, you know, Funimation still gets questions about Viz titles every so often and vice versa. It's great.
Yeah, Lance gets a Naruto question. Although my personal favorite incident was, I think it was like about 10 years ago at AX. It was shortly after End of Eva came out, and Hideaki Anno was there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of fans were, you know, just completely busting on him for, you know, why did it end like that? What was with those last two episodes? And finally, he just leaned in really close to his mic and just went in English, I don't care.
Awesome.
I would do the same thing.
Okay, also from Bradley, can writing professionally about anime lead to quicker burnout? If so, why? Answer, yes, because it's your job. And you don't just get to write about the stuff you only want to write about. You got to kind of have to write about everything, and so you burn out.
If I had to do shelf life, I would have quit, like, within a week or two.
Yeah.
Do you? Yeah, definitely. I'm kind of lucky in that since we are not ANN, I really get to pick, you know, I don't have to have everything on the site, so I do get to pick and choose on some level, which helps a lot. But yeah, definitely, cons are a lot less exciting than they used to be in some ways. Until we take over, you know, the bar at the New Yorker Hotel, then it's exciting again.
Right.
For me, it's just, it's so hard to get excited about stuff anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it really takes something really, truly special.
It's not a dislike, it's the enthusiasm slowly goes away.
You can't keep up that much excitement for that long.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
The honeymoon, it ends.
Right. Okay, two jokey, stupid-ass questions to close this out. From Daryl, this is for you, Gia. How much has the switch from GiaPet to Anime Vice affected the per capita usage of Impact font captions on pictures internet-wide?
I would say there has clearly been at least a 33.692% decrease internet-wide.
I'm sure Daryl will find that very interesting.
Yes.
And finally from Brad, what would be the most wildly inappropriate anime for McDonald's to bundle toys of with their Happy Meals? And I was thinking about this, and there is an anime coming up about breastfeeding demons. So
yes,
I'm going to go with...
Yes, Seiko no Quase.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that one.
I was going to go with Aiken.
The first titles that came to my mind were Queen's Blade and Strike Witches.
Oh,
and Strike Witches in particular, because I can totally picture what a McDonald's toy of a Strike Witch would look like and do, you know?
Yeah, what I'm picturing is a really cheap-looking, like, Queen's Blade figure comes in, and you see, like, a little kid's hand holding it in the McDonald's commercial, and he, like, pushes a switch and the little plastic clothes fly off.
I think maybe, was that one with the peeing? Oh,
Charger Girl.
Charger Girl Juden-chan.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I just imagine this little toy where you're supposed to take your straw with your soda and just, like, fill in a little hole in the top and it comes out a crotch.
Collect all seven.
I was thinking a Queen's Blade. It could be a squirt gun, but you have to squeeze the boobs to squirt water out of it.
Oh, it burns!
Yeah. Okay, well, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for being on the show, Gio. It was a lot of fun.
You bet.
Okay, and we will see you guys next week.